It's all about Jesus. Amen. Open your Bibles with me, if you will, the 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Matt, you did stir me up. That was great. Thank you. When Pastor asked me to share the word today, I was very humbled, as always. And I thought to myself, I said, Jesus, we're right in the middle of the holiday season. We got Thanksgiving. We got Christmas around the corner. And I had all of these things in my mind, these topics that I wanted to talk about. I mean, I love Thanksgiving. I love Christmas. I love the holidays. And by the way, it's not happy holidays. It's Merry Christmas. Amen. It's Merry Christmas in the workplace, at home, on the streets, in the stores, everywhere. It's Merry Christmas, not happy holidays. Jesus is still alive more than ever. Amen. Amen. And there was just this one topic that just kept coming back to my heart, and I couldn't get it out of my heart. So let's start in 1 Corinthians, if you're there, chapter 1, verse 17. This is Paul speaking to the church at Corinth. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. I love this scripture, and I love the message of the cross. And that's what fired me up over this communion message this morning. The scriptures that we're going to go over this morning, I just pray, while you may have heard them in the past, may give you a fresh nugget of truth, even a big lump of truth. But to better understand this message of the cross, let's start back in the genesis of time. Rose, if you could go to slide one first. God said to Adam, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day you eat, you shall surely die. Now, because of Adam's sin of high treason in the Garden of Eden, spiritual death infected the whole human family. Adam sold out. We lost our inheritance. But death in the Bible is never means a cessation of life. It means separation. Next slide, Rose. Let's look at three forms of death. We've got physical death. Man's spirit and soul, the inward man, are separated from the physical body, the outward man. Then there's the spiritual death. Man's separation from God. Man's spirit is cut off, disconnected from the life and nature of God. And the third death, the eternal or second death, man is forever separated from God and from heaven and is eternally damned in hell. Now, if you can go to the next slide, Rose. Let's look at this. 1 Corinthians 15, 21 through 22. For since by man, this is speaking of Adam, came death, by man, speaking of Jesus, behold the man, also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Now notice in verse 21, it says, because of Adam's fall, spiritual death came upon mankind. But verse 22 says, in Adam all die. Or we could say that all of Adam's offspring are under this type of death. But Jesus. But Jesus. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Starting on verse 21, or verse 12, I'm sorry, Romans 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who have not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who is to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from the one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Now look at the key words here. Over and over again, we see much more. But there's also a key word in here that just kept jumping out to me pertaining to this subject, and that is the gift. That is the gift. Jesus Christ died on the cross as a gift to you and to me and to all of mankind to deliver us from bondage, to pull us out of the clutches of the enemy, to redeem us back to God. Amen. Amen. You know, and I love the message of the cross. And yes, I want to dig deeper into the Word. And I want to go into things that are deeper where you get a revelation knowledge, you're pricked in your heart, and you feel flicked in your head sometimes when you get that revelation truth. But we got to always go back to the cross. We always got to go back to the cross. There is a form of worship that these verses should bring out in all of us as we read them. It's spelled H-A-L-A-L, and it's pronounced Hale. Hale. This is an explosion of enthusiasm. It's to praise, to make show, to rave about, to glory in, to boast up, to be clamorously foolish about our adoration of God. Hale, hale, amen. As I was studying for this word yesterday, I just kept going over in my spirit. Hale, hale. The shedding of Jesus' innocent blood at the cross had to occur to reconcile mankind back to the Father. Yes, the number one reason why Jesus Christ came to the earth was to cut the new covenant in his blood, to settle the sin problem, to cancel the death, to bring back to us to our inheritance, and to provide deliverance and righteousness for man. Slide 5, Rose, please. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Amen. Next slide, Rose. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 11. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, not with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant, by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. There is so much word there. That is a powerful scripture. You know, the Old Testament of animal sacrifices and the shedding of blood, it could only cover up man's sins, but it cannot remove them. We're close by. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, for the worshippers once purified would have had no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a remainder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. It was not possible. Jesus had to be the perfect Lamb of God. The sacrifice had to be made. This is the Old Covenant. Let's look at four limitations of the Old Covenant system. Under the Old Covenant system, man's sins were covered. There were blood atonement. But the sin nature in man and the spiritual death that we talked about could not be removed. The Old Covenant was unable to change the satanic nature in man or bring spiritual life in man's spirit. The Old Covenant could not give man freedom from sin or victory over the power of sin. The Old Covenant with the blood of bulls and goats could not free man from sin consciousness, guilt, or condemnation. If you've received Christ, you don't have to feel guilty. Your sins have been washed. They have been cleansed. They have been removed as far as the east is from the west. I loved in Pastor's ministry training class, he did a little thing about when the psalm says that our sins have been removed from the east and the west. Well, thank God it's not from the north and the south. If you're going north and you're going over, you can gradually go over the world, can't you? And then you're what? You're heading south. You're heading south. You travel east, you're traveling east. You travel west, you're traveling west. Praise God. Praise God. And they've been cast into the deepest depths of the sea. And once again, what Pastor reminded us, in the depths of the sea, they cannot be removed. There's areas in the sea that have yet to be explored, that are 5 miles deep. We cannot retrieve our sins. Amen. Amen. No one was born again under the Old Covenant. All mankind was spiritually dead. Enough on the Old Covenant. In the new and better covenant, we don't approach God on the basis of a bleeding animal sacrifice, but through the shed blood of Jesus, we have the remission of our sin. Remission meaning to blot out completely, as if sin never existed in your lives. To cancel, to remove sin from us, leaving us without sin, without guilt, without condemnation, and without inferiority. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 24. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. That's powerful. That's powerful. Not that he should offer himself often as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Praise God. Praise God. We have the absolute removal of sin in our lives and the removal of guilt. The guilt consciousness. Yes, we have complete restoration. Because of the work of the cross, we have been restored back to our original state with God.
Amen.
Amen. You know, perhaps the best way to summarize all that restoration means to the individual believer would be to use the simple word that God used in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And that's life. In Deuteronomy 30:20, Moses said of the Lord, he is your life. He is your life. In Colossians 3:3-4, Paul speaks of Christ who is our life. And Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Yes. This is a message that I know we've heard often and often, but I never want to grow tired of the message of the cross. Never want to tire of them. I love the message of the cross. I love the message of what the blood does for us. I love the fact that the blood still speaks, a better thing than Abel's blood. I just love all of the facts that though we were once far off, we have been made near by the blood of Christ. I love the blood of Jesus. I love it. It's beautiful. Never want to tire of the message of the cross. It is what starts our Christianity. No, we don't end there. We go on to ascension and beyond. But let us always come back to the cross. And let us always proclaim the cross. Amen. Amen. Yes, at the cross, Jesus accomplished the defeat of Satan. The cross canceled Satan's legal claim over the human race. Next slide, Rose. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, this is Jesus speaking, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. Next slide. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. I can envision in my mind Jesus descending down to hell and taking the keys of heaven and hell from Satan and then taking them and dragging them down the corridors of hell, making a public spectacle of them. Amen. Amen. That's for you, and for me. Amen. Next slide, please. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. And listen to this, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You don't have to fear death. What's the worst thing somebody can do to you in this world? Kill you, right? Right? Well, guess what? They've set you free. As a Christian and believing in Christ, you'll be going to heaven. I mean, we don't want to get killed. We don't want to die. We got a lot of work to do here for the Lord. But we don't have to fear death. And when you become a Christian, that fear of death, he just abolished it. He got rid of it. You don't have to fear death as a Christian, as a born-again, blood-bought citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. At the cross, Jesus, he canceled the power of sin. Sin's penalty was paid for and sin's power was broken eternally. Let's go back to Romans, please. Romans chapter 6. This is a message. We're coming into the Christmas season. I just found the nearest past that, you know, the world is a little bit more susceptible of hearing the gospel of Christ. You know, you can use that to get that word out. Amen, amen. And it's also a time of the year where, like Pastor said, there's a lot of people that are hurting. There's a lot of, and that's what the church is here for. We're not just spiritual fat cats sitting in a pew. No, we've got what the world needs, and that's Jesus. And that's Jesus, and that's what we need to be taking out to them. Amen. And I know sometimes, you know, you gotta get a little bold about it. I know that. But you know what? You've got the Holy Spirit inside of you. You have got the Holy Spirit working inside of you, and you can do anything through Christ. Anything he calls you to do. And pray for that in the morning. Pray for the Lord to bring somebody across your path, you know, that you can minister to. Pray up and get yourself built up for it. God will give you that opportunity and he'll give you them words and he'll give you that time. Amen. I lost my place. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? This is talking about Jesus canceling the power of sin. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness in life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, there's a message right there, united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do we stumble? Do we fall? Absolutely, but we've got an advocate. We've got a mediator. We can go right to Christ. We don't have to pray to anybody else. We can go right to the throne, come boldly before the throne of grace. You know, and we are going to stumble. We are going to fall. But let me tell you, you don't have to sin like you used to sin when you did years ago. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. Amen. You know, thank God we're not where we want to be, but thank God we're not where we used to be. Amen. 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 And you know, and as you get that stuff in you, you get the word in you, you just want to sin less and less and less. And when you do, it doesn't take you that long to repent, does it? It like quickly comes to you, don't it? Quickly. Amen. I thank the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Talking on the same topic here now that Jesus has canceled at the cross, the power of sin. 1 Corinthians 15, 54. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. This goes back to what we were just talking about, that he has freed us from the bondage of death. Death has lost its sting, and the sting of death is sin, and we know the wages of sin is death, but we have been freed by that. Amen. By the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb. Amen. At the cross, Jesus accomplished God's plan of salvation, making righteousness available to all mankind. All mankind. Isn't that amazing? You know, some of these tribes down in South America that have never even seen another human being. You know, Jesus died for just as much them as he did for you and me. All mankind. Amen. If you can go to the next slide, Rose. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1:7. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. You know, another word for conveyed is transferred. There's that salvation. He has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through the what? Through the blood. Amen. Amen. At the cross, Jesus purchased bodily healing for the sick and the afflicted. Can you go to the next slide, Rose? Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes you were healed?
Are healed.
Amen. Don't let that scripture get old. Don't let that scripture get old. No, absolutely not. Next slide, Rose. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Amen. Amen. That's powerful. That is powerful scriptures. At the cross, Jesus He also opened the way for personal access for every believer. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one. One has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both. He's talking here about the Jews and the Gentiles, Gentiles being non-Jews, reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Yes, he has opened the way for personal access to God for every believer. Next slide, Rose. Therefore, brethren, having boldness, a familiar scripture to us, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which is consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. How many people here have ever prayed, gone before the throne, and that verse has come to their mind? I have all the time. All the time. You know, because in our flesh and in our humanity, we feel like, I'm not worthy enough to come before you, Lord. I can't come before you and ask you for this. You know, because you just feel so dirty. It feels like the closer you get to the Lord, the dirtier you feel. But that is not the truth, is it? Amen. No, that is not the truth. But that scripture has always come back to my mind. We can just come boldly before the throne of grace. Amen. Amen. You know, and it gives us confidence in our prayers. Can you go to the next slide, Rose? Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that we if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Amen. Amen. I notice I italicized according to his will. Amen. Yes, all of this, all of the curse, all of the sin, all of the effects of the sin was placed on Jesus so that all of the blessings might come upon us. Jesus took our sin, but he gave us forgiveness and righteousness. Jesus took our sickness, but he gave us healing and health. Jesus took our diseases, but he gave us physical wholeness and well-being. Jesus took our poverty, and he gave us prosperity. Jesus took our spiritual death, and he gave us eternal life. Amen. Jesus took our curse, and Jesus gave us Abraham's blessings. Jesus took our rejection, and Jesus gave us freedom from rejection. Jesus took our fear and oppression, and he gave us peace and a sound mind. Wow. Wow. You just burn in your spirit. You want this for everybody. You want this for your families. You want this for your friends. For anybody that doesn't know Jesus, why you're living the way you do, you don't need to. God loves you. God loves you so much. He's not mad at you. He's not mad at you. Don't think he's mad at you. He loves you. He's got his arms always open wide for you. You just want to just tell everybody this. Especially this time of the year, there's so much pain and sorrow. The holidays are not a good time for a lot of people. There's loneliness. There's financial woes. There's hurting. And you know, a lot of those things exist for Christians as well. We're not immune to them. But you know what? We go through them with Jesus. He goes through them with us. He sticks closer than a brother to us. I'm gonna let my wife down. And she's gonna let me down at times. because we're human. But He will never let you down. He will never let you down. He will walk through the darkest cloud with you. Amen. Oh, you just want this for everybody. These are the truths that just drive us to want to share the gospel and the message of the cross with the world. Amen. But there are two sides of the cross. There are two sides of the cross. Let's go to Luke chapter 23. Starting on verse 39, a familiar passage when Jesus was hanging on the cross and the two thieves were one on His left and one on His right. Starting on verse 39, then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed at Him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." There is no purgatory. There is no purgatory. Today you will be with me in paradise. My idea, from what I understand, purgatory is if I've done something wrong in this world, I've got to go to a place that was set up for me that I've got to be prayed out, or I got to be preached out, or I've got to earn my way out. If I got to earn my way out, Jesus died in vain. Can I get an amen on that? For it is by grace that you are saved, and this is through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. No greater love is there that a man lays down his life for another. John 15:13. And just as these two thieves had to make a choice, just as they had to make a choice, each and every one of us at one time in our life have to make a choice. And I promise you, you make that choice that one thief made, you are going to set yourself on a path of the most exciting life that you have ever had. You can know that you've been set free. You can know that your eternity is sealed. You can know that you are an inheritance. You can know that you are joint heirs according to the promises. You can know that your future is heaven and that you are just a stranger passing through in this earth. Amen. 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 John 1:12 says, but here's the key here. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. You got to receive Him. Remember we talked about the gift? He is a gift. The cross was a gift. His death was a gift to us. We don't have to earn it. When you get a gift, if I give somebody a gift, they don't have to work for it. They don't have to buy it. They don't have to earn it. They just receive it. They just got to receive it. Amen. Amen. This is the message of the cross. This is the message of the cross. Amen. Whew. Just want to get fired up. It's the end. You know, I don't know everybody here. I do not know if there's somebody in here that's not saved. I know a lot of you here, and I love each and every one of you. But I just want to ask, is there anybody in here that has not received Jesus Christ, that has not asked for that gift of forgiveness, that has not asked Him to come into their life and to forgive them? I want you to just, everybody's head bowed. If you are that person, if you don't know for sure that if you die, you're going to go to heaven, let me tell you, Jesus died for you. If you were the only person in this world, Jesus would have went to the cross and suffered that horrible death just for you. God loves you that much. He is not mad at you. He loves you. He loves you. One person at all. Have enough guts. Well, praise God. Everybody here is saved and going to heaven. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Let's have the worship team come on up. Hallelujah. Amen. How many of you know it's so important that we get pointed back to the cross? Amen? Amen. Because no matter what, as Ted alluded to, no matter what, it all has to go back to the cross. And we know that there's a lot of preaching, a lot of teaching that goes on in our nation today, and very little mention of the cross. But the cross is the centerpiece of all of it. Isn't that right? Amen. And I think that's one reason I've mentioned before. I think that that's one reason why God has called us to have communion as often as we will. Because no matter what, whenever we have communion, no matter what else we've been teaching or preaching or hearing or whatever else, it always points us back to the reason we're here. Amen? And that's that blood shed for us. Let's stand, if you would. And can we sing, You Are My King, Amazing Love. Hallelujah.